We've been talking about hope during the month of June. What is hope? What does hope mean to me? How can we share hope? Just a whole month, and we've been looking at different angles, different biblical definitions of what hope is, what it means, and how we can share it. And early in the series, I told you that there was going to be a sermon coming up that was going to be about how hope inspires hope. Today is the day for that message, for that sermon, but I changed the title today. If you notice in the bulletins, it's not "In Hope Inspires Hope." It's Hope and Faith. As faith is a big part of this cyclical pattern of how hope inspires hope. Very similar to, if you remember the message on peace and joy, how hope brings peace and peace and joy bring hope. So the cyclical pattern, and if at any time today, you get kind of confused or because some of the words, I'm going to be saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. Okay, it's going to be very repetitive in different ways, different angles. But if at any time in the message you're thinking, okay, where's he going? What's happening with this? I want to give you something where you can just look up here, and this is the whole thing is all about. That hope leads to faith. And faith does what? Leads to hope. That's the cyclical pattern that we're looking at. And this is how hope inspires hope. Faith is involved in that. Faith is a key factor in that. You can't have one without the other. Hope and faith, they're inseparable. And so you can't have hope without faith. Let's go and write that half down. Let's look at this half. You can't have hope without faith. You have to have faith to have hope. So you can't have hope without faith. In Matthew chapter 8, there's a centurion that comes to Jesus because his servant is in terrible suffering. He's laying paralyzed at home. And Jesus tells him, I will go and heal him. And then here's what the centurion says back to Jesus. He says, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. You can't have hope without faith. This man had faith that Jesus was who he said he was. He had faith in God's power and authority. He's going to write that down. He had faith in God's power and authority. He understood power and authority because he himself was on both sides of the power and authority in his job as a centurion. He says, I've got people above me. I have to answer to them. I understand they're in power. They're in authority over me. And when they tell me to move, I got to move. But then he goes more into detail about those that are underneath him. He says, I've got guys that answer to me. Guys that are underneath me. Guys I'm responsible for. And I tell them to go this way and they go that way. I tell them to come and they come. He said, I get this. I understand this whole concept of power and authority. And in so many words, he says, I have faith in your power and authority. You say the word, and I'll know that my servant will be healed. So not only did he have faith in God's power and authority, he also had faith in God's promise and assurance. When Jesus said, or when he told Jesus, if you say this is going to happen, I trust your word. That's all I need. I don't need you to come to my house. I trust your promise. I trust your assurance that you give. The centurion had faith in the assurance of Jesus' word. Jesus said it would happen, and the centurion had hope because he had faith in Jesus' promise and assurance. Sometimes when we feel hopeless, when we're missing out on hope, I kind of think we need to go back to this and say, if we're missing out on hope, is it because somewhere we've got a breakdown in our faith? We've lost some faith in God. And most of us sitting in church would say, oh, well, that wouldn't be me. I wouldn't do that. But think about some of these more specific areas. Maybe it's because we've lost contact, or we've lost faith in God's power and authority. Maybe it's because we've lost faith in God's promise and his assurance. Because you can't have hope if you don't have faith in God's power. If you don't have faith in God's authority. You can't have hope if you don't have faith in God's assurance, in God's promise. You can't have hope without faith. Jesus responds to this man. And Jesus lets us see that this is so much bigger than just a paralyzed servant of the centurion. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." Now watch what Jesus does. He goes completely eschatological on this. He goes completely towards the end of times, completely towards heaven and where we're going to be. And he takes it from something little dealing with one person to something that deals with everyone that has ever breathed a breath of life on this earth. He says, "I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Okay, so that's one side. But here's the other side. "The subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it will be done as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that very hour. So Jesus commends this man for his faith. He said, "I haven't seen such great faith in all of Israel." And then Jesus just goes, he just dives into the deep end of hope and faith. And he shares, there's going to be a lot of people from the east and the west that will make their home in heaven. They will be up in heaven, but there will be others who won't be there. They will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What makes a difference? Why would Jesus bring this up? Contextually, Jesus is talking about faith. Faith makes the difference. He commends this man for his faith, and in the very next sentence, he's talking about the hope of heaven, the hope of eternity, and how some will miss out on that hope because they didn't have faith. I'm going to write this down. Faith is required to have the hope of heaven. See, this man's faith connected him to the hope of a healed servant. And Jesus connects faith to the hope of heaven. We're saved by grace through what? Okay, I know you guys know that. Ephesians 2:8. "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith." So you can't have hope without faith. So let's reflect a little on our responsibility as hope sharers. If we understand this to be true, just this half, if you can't have hope without faith, then as we who are people who have hope, who people who know the God of hope, who have experienced hope, who are recipients of God's hope, we then are hope sharers. We are hope givers. We are entrusted with that hope. And so if you can't have hope without faith, then as a hope sharer, we need to learn how to inspire faith in others. So how do we do that? How do we inspire others to place their faith in God? How do we jump into this cyclical pattern, this circle? How do we get involved in that? Let's write this down. I can influence what others put their faith in through actively bringing the hope of God to them. Okay, you can't make someone have faith. You can't force them to have faith because then it's not their faith. It's not their belief. It's not their trust. They have to get this on their own. So we really can't jump in down here. But what we can do is we can jump in up here. And we can start the circle. We can start the cycle. We can start this hopefully to be a repetitious thing for them in their life. We can do that by jumping in and doing what our vision statement says. That we want to be a church that is visibly connected to the heart of Christ by what? Say those next three words. Oh, it's not even up there. There we go. Being a church visibly connected to the heart of Christ. I pulled the wrong slide there. I meant to highlight the next one. So by what? Actively bringing hope. Actively bringing hope. So how do we inspire faith in other people? We inspire faith in other people by actively bringing hope to them. I can influence others to put their faith in, or what they put their faith in, by actively bringing the hope of God to them. If we turn the page to Matthew chapter 9, we find another story of hope, another story of faith. And this is another noble man that's a man of importance. And he comes to Jesus very similar to the way the centurion comes to Jesus. We're told that a ruler came to Jesus. In Mark and Luke's accounts of the story, we find out that this was one of the synagogue rulers, and his name was Jairus. And instead of using Matthew's version of the story, which is a little more condensed, I'm going to use, I've made some time to be able to use Mark's version. Mark's version of this is a little more exploded, but it has some details in there that I think are going to be important for us to kind of pick out a little bit. So if you want to go on and write up in your bulletin where it says Matthew 8, you can write Mark 5, 21 through 43. We'll be reading some of the more middle verses in that section, but the whole story takes place between Mark chapter 5, 21 through 43. If you want to check that out. So we go from a Roman ruler to a Jewish ruler, from a centurion servant to Jairus' daughter. So Jairus, he comes to Jesus, he kneels before him, and he says, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." See, this man, he has faith that Jesus can heal her. He has hope because he has faith, and he comes to Jesus. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject for bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. So this woman, she had spent all of her hope. She had exhausted the hope in her money. She was out of money. She spent all she had. She had exhausted the hope that she had in money. She had exhausted the hope that she had in the physicians. They did all they could do, and nothing helped her. And in fact, she grew worse. So she had run out of hope in these areas. She had exhausted her hope. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, and this is why we went to Mark's gospel, Instead of Matthew's, we get this little tidbit about her thinking process. She thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." She had hope because she had what? Faith. This is a statement of faith. I believe that, because she thought, "If I touch his clothes," she believed that if she could just get close enough, just to touch his clothes, that's faith. She had hope in that faith. Immediately her bleeding stopped. She felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. See, she did not have an empty faith because it was attached to hope. It wasn't an empty faith. It wasn't a faith that was based on wishing, because it was a faith that was based on hope. The hope of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the hope of the power and authority of God, the hope of the promise and the assurance of Jesus, of who he is and the power that he has. Once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him, he turned to the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" A lot of people find this humorous. The disciples ask, "You're in a crowd of people, Jesus. There's people all around you. There's people, everyone is pressing against you. What do you mean, who touched your clothes?" Straight from Scripture, they say, "You see the people crowding against you," the disciples answered, "and yet you can ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around, and I just see Jesus kind of getting the Clint Eastwood eyes, you know, the squinty ones, kind of looking around. Who is it? Who's going to come forward? Who's going to confess? Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." "Your what?" "Your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came, because we're still involved with Jairus and his daughter, so this is all kind of a little interruption. I call this story a twofer. He had a two-for-one in this story. So he's got this pause moment, this intermission with this woman who had been bleeding for years. And then these guys from Jairus' house, from the synagogue ruler, Jesus was still speaking. Some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" There's no more hope, is what they're saying. There's no more hope. she's gone, don't bother him anymore. Jesus jumps in, ignoring what they said. Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe. So you see, Jesus is joining in this. These guys are saying, hey, there's no hope. And Jesus says, have faith. Just believe, just have faith, because there's hope. There's hope at the end of this faith. Don't be afraid, just believe. Jesus encourages this man's faith. He's not just wishing. His faith has assurance. It has substance. His faith is built on hope. Hope that is in Jesus. Not the kind of hope that we have here on earth. Not where we wish for something. It's built in Jesus. It is a faith in a real hope. As we continue reading the story, it says, he did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. And they all laughed at him. So these people are a great example. They had no hope. Why? They had no faith. He said, she's not dead, she's sleeping. And they laughed at him. So they're an example of people in the story here who didn't have hope because they didn't have faith. But that was about to change. They're about to have their eyes opened. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. So in this story, this twofer story, we have the Jewish ruler's daughter, Jairus' daughter, who isn't just healed, she's raised from the dead. And we have this bleeding woman who had exhausted her hope in money, who had exhausted her hope in physicians, but she still had faith and she still had hope. Jairus had faith and then was interrupted in the middle of the story saying, hey, she's not just sick now, she's dead. And Jesus encouraged his faith so that he would have hope. So both of these stories help us to see that faith without hope is just wishing. Faith without hope is just wishing. You're believing something that has no substance. You're believing in something that you have no reason to have any kind of assurance of it if you don't have hope attached to the faith. The woman had hope that if she touched Jesus' clothes, she would be healed. Her faith had hope. It wasn't just empty wishing. She had faith in the hope that she would be healed if she could just touch Jesus' clothes. Jairus had hope that Jesus would heal his daughter, and it wasn't just a wish. Jesus had a reputation. Jairus had hope, or he had faith in his hope. These people came to Jesus because they heard of his power. They heard of his authority. You know, we also have a faith that is attached to hope. We don't have an empty faith. We don't have an empty hope. Our faith as a Christian is not based on empty wishes. Our faith is not some positive, optimistic view on life. Our faith is attached to hope, and we need to be reminded of that. And we should be prepared to explain that our faith isn't just empty wishing. Our faith is not what some people would call on an earthly level of faith, or just believing in something, or trusting in something that's not there or doesn't have assurance. We need to be able to answer for the faith that we have. We're told that in Scripture. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the what? The hope that you have. So we need to be able to say, I have hope because I have what? That's my reason. And I have faith because my hope is secure. My hope is solid. God has come through for me a bazillion and one times, and I know he's going to continue to do so. He's come through for people I know in the church. He's come through for people in the Bible that I read about. I have hope because I have faith. And when Peter says you got to be prepared to give an answer for the hope, some of you might think, it's really simple. You have hope because you have faith. And you have faith because you have hope. Hope inspires hope, but faith is very strongly involved. Anytime you get an opportunity to share this hope of Christ. Colossians 4, starting with verse 5, it says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you know how to answer everyone. Here's why this is important. And we need to write this down. I can help others to have a hope worth putting their faith in by the way I talk about the hope I have through faith. It's a big sentence. But take that in. Drink that for a moment. I can help those to have a hope worth putting their faith in. Not an empty hope. Not just empty wishing. You can help others to have a hope worth putting their faith in by the way I talk about my hope that I have through faith. Let your talk be seasoned with salt, is what Paul says in Colossians. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. When you're transparent, when you're real, when you're authentic about what you place your faith in, that why you have the hope that you have. When you talk about it, then that is something where others can see that. And they can see it in your life, because if you're talking about real life events, you're talking about things that have really happened, things that these people have watched you go through, and you've had faith and you've had hope and God has come through for you. And when you get a chance to talk about that and to share about that, the reason why I have hope is because I have faith. Remember when I went through this, or remember when this happened, or remember when this, you know, in some of those stories you can bring up, someone is asking, why do you have hope in God? Why do you place your hope in God? Because people are going to ask that question more than they would some other questions. If they get around to asking some questions about your faith, they're going to ask, why do you put your hope in God? Why do you even believe that he's there? Why do you have faith in him? Why do you put your hope in him? And that brings up the opportunity to share, to talk about your faith. And if you've already been talking about your faith, then it's just natural. It's just what you do. So you can help others to have a hope worth putting their faith in simply by talking about the hope you have through faith. So here's a big difference between praying to the God of the universe, who we have a relationship with, and throwing a penny in a wishing well. There's a big difference, and we need to be reminded of that difference, and that difference needs to reflect in the conversations we have with people. The goal of our faith, it's not based on some words that we uttered when we saw a falling star, or we broke the wishbone at Thanksgiving, or we blew out the candles on our birthday cake. The goal of our faith is a solid hope in Christ. If we don't live and talk like there is a distinction, then why should those around us think that our faith is any different than making a wish and simply hoping that it would come true? Our faith has a future. And its future comes from the hope we have. So let's write that down. Hope. Hope is what gives my faith a future. Hope is what gives my faith a future. Our faith is in a hope that is held in heaven. Our faith also springs from this hope that is held in heaven. So this hope that I have that's held in heaven, I have a hope of eternity with God that inspires my faith. Faith, and we're going to read in a minute, faith and love. Faith and love spring from this hope. And faith and love show hope. They reveal hope. They bring hope. They give hope. Let's read this. First, it's Colossians chapter 1. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints. So they have hope, and it's being showed through their faith and their love. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel. See, hope is what gives our faith a future. We have faith in a future hope. Our future hope produces love and faith. A true heaven-bound hope will be evident by how we love others. A true heaven-bound hope will be evident by how we love others. Our love is a witness to others of our hope. Hebrews 6, starting in verse 10, says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the what? And the love you have shown him, as you have helped his people and continue to help them. So we show God love by helping his people. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your what? Hope sure. We want you to continue in this cyclical pattern. We want you to continue in faith, continue in love, love for God and also love for others, serving others, helping others, and showing your love for God. Continue in this hope to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Hope is what gives our faith a future. And our love for others gives evidence to that hope that we hold on to. And our diligence and commitment to loving God by helping others helps to make our hope sure. So we share hope by actively bringing hope to our community through serving, through transforming, through reproducing. But that also helps to ensure our hope. So this kind of goes all sorts of different ways, but it's kind of a little bit, it's still a twisted little vine that's all twisted around faith and hope. So as I serve others, I'm loving God, I'm taking hope to them and helping to start their own little cycle over here, because that's where we can start, is we can start by actively bringing hope into their life to help inspire their faith. And so at the same time that I'm doing that for someone else, when I'm bringing faith and love and I'm serving someone else, it's helping my hope to be sure. Isn't this awesome? How many layers? I told you it might get a little confusing, but all you have to do is just come back to this, and this is all I'm talking about, really, is just this right here. Hope brings faith, and faith brings hope. It just keeps getting thicker and thicker and thicker. And so we want to be a church that is actively bringing hope to our community. This is how we show our love for God. This is how we show our love for other people. And this reveals a real hope and a sincere faith. We don't just have empty wishes. We have a true heaven-bound hope, and it is shown through the love that we have for others. Hebrews, later in Hebrews chapter 10, he says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Let us hold unswervingly. Don't let go of it. Continue in it. Hold unswervingly to the hope we have. We profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let's write this down. Faithfulness is how we hold on to our hope. Hold unswervingly. And what we're doing is we're following God's example. God is faithful. And so what we're going to do is we're going to hold on to our hope without moving. Consistently, constantly. Another word for that is faithfully. Faithfully. Faithfulness is how we hold on to our hope. Faithfulness is remaining true, constant, loyal to the faith we profess. We have a hope from faith. And our faith has hope. And we hold on to this hope through faithfulness. A repeating pattern. Cyclical. And we have this hope because of what Jesus did. We have this hope, this faith in Jesus because of what he did. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. 3 days later, by the power of God, Jesus was resurrected from the... And he left the grave empty. Amen? In 1 Corinthians 15, that's not included in your notes, but in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says this is the definition of the gospel story. It is that God, that Christ died, that he was buried, and 3 days later he raised from the dead. And Paul says this is the gospel story in a nutshell. In Colossians we read, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But I love when that word shows up in sentences like this, in passages like this. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. And there's a clause here. If you continue in your faith. So we have a hope. That's what he's saying in Colossians. We have this hope. We've been saved. We've been redeemed. We've been washed clean. Now continue in a faith. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the what? In the gospel. The hope we hold on to is the gospel. That's our hope. The gospel is the hope that the world needs. So we should take every opportunity that we have to influence others to put their faith in God by actively bringing the hope of God to them, to their doorstep, to their lives, by actively bringing hope to them. We can help others to see this hope simply by being available, being able, by simply talking about our faith and our hope and examples of how that's solid and examples of God's power and examples of the assurance of the promise that we have. To be comfortable sharing freely about your faith, being able to answer for your hope. Our hope is made evident through the faith we have and the love we show God through the service we give to other people, through the way we serve other people. So that's another way we can share this hope-faith cycle. These are ways that we can help connect others to hope and faith.